everybody. Welcome to Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush, and today we are talking about artificial intelligence. Now, depending on who you ask in supply chain, AI is either going to completely change the way the supply chain operates, or it's going to be something nice to have. It's going to replace every trucker on the road and everybody working at ports, or it's going to be used to create really inappropriate limericks because you can teach ChatGPT to do that. And to answer some of the questions I've got, dispel some myths, I've got Aaron Hatfield, who is the head of sales at Arvest, joining the show today. Aaron, welcome aboard, man.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. So, Aaron, you coined one of my favorite phrases, and I've been using it and abusing it lately, when you said, this is somebody I LinkedIn know. And at Home Delivery World, we'd known each other, quote unquote, known each other on LinkedIn for quite a long time, but we finally got to meet each other. It was so cool to see you put a face with, you know, that anonymous person behind the profile. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me a little bit about Arvest, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm operate as the head of sales for Arvest. I'm helping them and their team grow out their sales frameworks, their systems, with that initial growth, moving in to just the next stages of startup life. And what I'm doing is, again, just with that customer acquisition, the customer retention, and building those just foundational building blocks, so to speak, for that continued growth and scale for their team.
And now, what exactly does Arvest do? Let's baseline it.
Yes. All right. So Arvest, what they do is they utilize computer vision and have created a digital twin, as it's called, that lays on existing infrastructure within warehouses or 3PLs, operations, et cetera. So what they do is they come in, lay on top of the existing cameras, tablets, phones, et cetera, and then take that data, visually record it, and inject it live into your WMS with the end goal to be increased efficiency from a quality control standpoint, safety and compliance, and then productivity, inventory management, cycle counting, stuff like that. They lay on top of your existing, again, hardware, but also your existing software infrastructure, making easy integrations to really heighten the visibility within operations and drive that ROI from more of an upstream angle before it really even hits those customers' receiving docks, et cetera.
So instead of sort of the machines are coming for your job, is the sale machines are going to make your job a little bit easier, a whole lot safer, and maybe a little more productive? Is that the way I should be thinking about this?
Yes, absolutely. I always refer to Arvest and the solution that they've developed as an excellent tool in your toolbox. You hear about robotics, you hear about, and you know, all these doomsday kind of predictions, right, when it comes to robotics and AI. And skeptics, I welcome the skepticism, because without a healthy skepticism, there's never true growth or innovation. But as we're seeing in the marketplace today with Arvest specifically, is it's AI that's meant to complement your existing workforce and reduce the mundane tasks or the small minute errors that might occur from a day to day, to let your employees and your warehouse workers and your supervisors, et cetera, focus on what they do best and get better at their profession while being able to streamline, again, some of the mundane tasks or the stuff that might just slip through the cracks.
Sure. So Aaron, historically, I've always heard that there's two ways to approach AI machine learning. One of them is buy the tool and, by God, figure out how it can help us. Mm-hmm. And the other one is to say, look, I want to solve a very specific problem, and I want to layer in technology to approach something, perhaps a minute detail, but I want to solve this particular issue. And then over time, you know, find another issue and another issue and another issue. I like the way you phrased the Arvest approach, which was, we layer it on top of things. We're not a rip and replace solution. We're very much a, you know, tool in your toolkit. When it comes to some of the larger AI integrations you've seen or heard about, you know, what's your general feeling? Is it, let's solve a problem and then move on to the next? Or should companies be looking around saying, we're going to rip up the playbook and we're going to do a digital transformation?
Personally, I think it really comes down to, you have to incrementally attack it and identify kind of what your strategic goals are. So for instance, you know, if a company is in the stage where saying, hey, we're doing a complete overhaul, great, awesome. At this stage of the game, everything's slapped with AI nowadays. And I always encourage people is take that extra time to go a layer deeper, identify, like you just stated, the acute problems or problem that you're trying to solve, and then incrementally layer artificial intelligence or machine learning, because there are differences, but is layer these into your workflows, processes, existing software stack. Because when you take the kind of all or nothing approach, or the, you know, like you said, the rip it off and replace approach, yes, you get the technology, but you're not maximizing the actual use cases for that technology. So for instance, and honestly, a lot of times you're overpaying for stuff that you'll never use. So what I've discovered is, you know, with Arvest, when we're working with teams, is we're working with very specific individuals. We're starting at a very specific point. If they need help evaluating their current workflows or processes to best provide the information to our software that it needs, or for our software to best record and amplify that information, you start small and then you grow. And as you grow, you'll identify other targets or other items that you might want to resolve, fix, or adjust. Some of that might, you know, with some of our current clients, that was already in their head to begin with. So we were working off a kind of A to B to C model, or crawl, walk, run. But oftentimes what we see is as this data is arising, because it's giving that clarity to your day-to-day operations, we highlight what is good visually and also just written within your WMS, but we highlight also what might be negative or detracting from efficiency. So the areas of opportunity become very clear with that incremental approach. And that's whether it's Arvest or just AI in general, I always encourage do a little bit of extra homework, because you might not have to rip and replace and do the whole swath.
Sure. So Aaron, Arvest is not your first go round in this industry. Tell me a little bit about how you ended up here, some of the places you've been, some of the cool things you've done throughout your career.
Yeah, sure. Well, I got my start right out of college. Well, professionally, I started in the military, was in there for 7.5 years, went straight back into college here in Northern Kentucky and got into cold storage warehousing with Interstate Cold Storage. So of all positions, it was within an HR position. So that was my first taste of supply chain. Excellent experience. And then from there, moved into brokering freight with RWI, owned by Castellini here in Greater Cincinnati. From there, sold software with Paycor, who sponsors the Bengals now, also is touts the Bengals as a client. Sold software with them for a couple years pre-COVID. Once COVID happened and that kind of disruption, I went independent and brokered freight solely for a year, kept the business or the doors open for about 3 years. But from there is where I met my most recent startup. That I was with was Freight, F-R-A-Y-T, and they focused predominantly on last mile delivery and driving impact from that angle. And then last but not least is from there, I've opened up Hatfield Consulting, and I own and operate a, I guess, boutique consulting agency, but work with folks and work with Arvest quite a lot on how to maximize technology within the supply chain. I've been blessed to have some experience on both sides, software and logistics. So is really what I enjoy doing is building those bridges and finding those practical solutions, whether it's through the consulting agency, but with Arvest is finding those practical solutions for those customers to really just make life a little bit better. And happy people produce better results, in my opinion. So any way that we can bridge those gaps and push the old with the new forward, it's a win-win.
Sure, man. And one of my favorite things you said there, one of the things I think I want to highlight is you're coming as a technologist, but you've been in the weeds, man. I mean, you've seen some of the hard work that goes into supply chain, some of the challenges. As you were talking about working in HR for a cold storage facility, I was going to make a joke about frostbite, and then I was like, you know what? He's probably got some of those workers' comp complaints. So I love the approach to be able to say, yeah, I've been there, done that, and I can show you how to do it better. I feel like that to me, and maybe I'm wrong, I'd love your opinion on this. That to me is one of the common failings of various freight tech companies, is that when you come from outside the industry, you say, oh, I see this problem, I'm going to go fix it. But don't take the time to your point, to delve deeper into what that problem, what's the root cause, or why have we always been doing it that way? What do you think? Am I right on that?
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And you know, that is what I hope to bring to every conversation and to the table is, I always say, be kind, be real, be listening and learning. And be confident in what you know, be confident in what you bring to the table, but always come with a lens of, hey, I'm going to give some of this, but I'm willing to take and learn something that I might not have thought before. In every deal that I've closed or company that I've worked with or client or partner that I've worked with, very rarely is there a one solution fits all, like the hat sizes, is something might work better than something else, but you might have to tailor it. So any way that I can provide that advice, or in my capacity with head of sales as Arvest, any way that I can add some of those bridge building techniques and some of those insights to what those the stellar developers that they have, if we can bridge those together, I think I'm very encouraged about not only how that has played out, but how that's going to continue playing out in the future.
Sure. So you've been in supply chain quite a while. What would you say are some of the most interesting projects or accomplishments? What are kind of the points that, what are the stories you love to tell when it comes to, like, you meet somebody at a conference and you're like, ooh, this is my go-to?
Oh, well, for a little while there, I did some, before last mile delivery became last mile delivery, it was just called Expedite. And I was that guy when I was brokering freight. And I broke gum on shipping John Deere and Kubota and a mix of other tractors to England. And I just thought it was the weirdest type of freight, but that ended up becoming one of my best customers as we were shipping tractor engines to England. Not a very exciting story, but it was just as a newcomer to the freight industry and to freight brokering, that was, I was, especially with Castellini as a subsidiary, I was expecting produce or, that those are the things. And then, I knew a guy and a connection was made and tractors. And that kind of became my claim to fame at the spot there.
So, I kind of love that from the perspective, like when you tell people, oh, I work in trucking or I work in logistics, you kind of get that look of, oh, what does that really require? And then when you're like, listen, I want you to look around your room. Everything here was in a truck at one point. Right. Pretty good chance I touched at least half the stuff in this room. Like that to me is always really fun. So to your point of tractor engines to England, that's pretty cool.
Right. I hadn't thought about it at the time. And but it is funny every time, when somebody asks me about what I do in logistics, especially now with the consulting, because I'm in several different links of the chain, so to speak, with the current clients and partners from a agency side, is I tell people, or I always use a reference Chandler from Friends. And, over the years of Friends, they're like, what does Chandler do? What does Chandler do? Nobody really ever knows. It's always data and spreadsheets is what the things come down. I was like, so when I talk to people, I was like, you've seen warehouses? Yes. You've seen trucks? Yes. Freight technology? Yes. That. I'm Chandler from Friends. And without going any deeper, because a lot of people are like, oh, what do you do? And I just say, I'm in logistics. And it encompasses a lot more than I think a lot of people actually realize. To your point is, 70 to 80% of all goods in the domestic US travel on the back of a truck, and it's, once you actually start peeling back the layers and looking into it a little bit deeper, it's like, oh, wow. So it definitely makes, when I drive up to the local TA or past the local TA on the 4th of July, and I see 30 trucks in the truck parking, it definitely makes me have a little bit more empathy for those guys and gals on the road,
Sure, man. No, totally understood. So, Aaron, we started off the episode talking about AI, and I think there's a lot of ways to consider AI. There's, ChatGPT or, the LLMs. There's sort of companies that say, we've got an AI that'll do everything within your organization. God knows, I get a call once a week from somebody who says, we can use AI to do all your dispatching, all your sales, all your marketing, all your collections. And basically, you can sit back and collect money. Don't think that's going to work for me. And then there are AI solutions that are tailored to an individual type of approach or a perspective problem, right? Mm-hmm. So when you talked about Arvest, In my head, I hear things like, hey, we're focused very much on vision AI, layering in artificial intelligence to not only capture what's happening, but to be able to interpret it. Do I have that right? If so, you know, where are some of the places vision AI is being used that I might not recognize?
Yeah. So, you know, specifically when it comes to warehousing. So, for instance, you know, I mentioned cold storage. That's where I got my start. Is dry or cold? You know, vision AI and, you know, what Arvest has developed, it's driving innovation from the standpoint that it is alleviating, you know, a lot of that burden from individuals. So, for instance, when it comes to safety, you know, if you zone this area off of your warehouse, does this person have the right PPE on, or is this person supposed to be here at this time? Was there a near miss in this zone? Being able to highlight those, especially from a safety perspective, and that's just one of the pillars or examples that we provide, is critical to building blocks to have that growth and scale, especially in a tight labor market and with the economy the way that it is. You know, and that's one thing I encourage with people when it comes to AI is, no, it's not going to replace, but it is, look at the world around us right now. A lot of things are, well, just naturally progressing, but there's a lot of turbulence. The labor market, again, the economy, it's an election season, which regardless of political affiliation always throws, you know, a wrench somewhere in, you know, in the economy or in the sentiment, so to speak. And so is with all that going on, vision AI allows you from a warehousing perspective to continue that efficiency without the laborers that you might need. So for instance, if you can't fill one position, maybe that's something that Arvest could be able to lay on top and influence. And then, you know, from the vision AI, one thing that Arvest is also developing or utilizing at the same time, you know, is we pull and record all this data from the security cameras and so forth. But then also is within the application itself, we're using a different form of AI that complements the vision AI, which goes into generative AI. So what it does is it reads the video footage, takes in the data from the video footage, generates out, you know, whether it's maybe from a safety aspect, again, right now, one thing that we're, you know, working on and we're sharing with our customers is OSHA forms, filling in incident reports, describing what might have happened at this point to this point or in between, and being able to have the video file, but also have the generative AI where it can spit out a summary, spit out a form. I don't know if spit's the right word, but you know what I mean, is generating these, is it again helps push the ball forward for that team. And I think that's where, you know, peeling back the layers, like we talked about earlier, is there, or machine learning, for instance, that's not even really generative, or, I mean, it is a type of artificial intelligence, but is, you know, these multiple aspects of AI and how it's developing can really be impactful at every stage of the game. One thing that I do always encourage, though, regardless of what software, AI, whatever you're using, is do your due diligence and double check the work. That's what a lot of people, you know, when you mentioned earlier is, oh, can I just, and now it's going to replace this, and now we don't have to ever think of it again. No, you know, that is not a wise approach. You know, is it, you should have, you know, if it's basic stuff, you know, if it's filling out a form, I mean, I double check my work anyway, I'm sure you do as well, is I think it's still a good practice to have, because technology is just that. It's a technology and it's artificial intelligence. It's not a human, but it's about as close as we can get right now. You know, so being able to utilize that to impact, you know, just a back-end operation like a warehousing or a 3PL facility, not only does it help the warehouse workers? But you have to look at the trickle down effect. Is it helps the carriers? It helps the carrier staff, the dispatchers. Is there's less confusion maybe with detention charges and so forth from a yard perspective? And I mean, yeah, I know I'm kind of rambling right now, but there's a lot of ways that I think, you know, with AI, you can really just dive in. And there's so many rabbit trails you can take, but there's at every stage, there are ways that they can complement each other. It's just companies have to have the willingness, I guess, is to discover and do a little bit of learning themselves or updating, themselves to find those bridges. And that's where Arvest, and that's where our solution comes in. But or from a Hatfield Consulting side, that's where, because of clients like Arvest or partners and so forth that are in the same spaces or similar spaces of the supply chain, it enables just a depth of perspectives. And I think a diversity of perspectives and a diversity of approaches when it comes to technology is wise.
Sure. Aaron, one of the questions I try to ask everybody is, if you're talking to a newer recent college grad who says, I'm thinking about logistics or I'm thinking about supply chain, what's the piece of advice you'd give that kid?
The first thing that I normally do is chuckle. because, well, and I always say this is, you know, I'm 32 now. If you would have, I took an untraditional route to school, but if you would have told me at 22, 23, that, hey, you're going to be working in logistics and enjoying it, I probably would have laughed. Nowadays, there's actually degrees you can get in supply chain. You know, right. this wasn't around at the university that I went to. So, but I always tell them is, you know, be on time, be real, be honest, and listen and learn constantly. Ask questions is one thing that I've noticed most of the time in our industry is that it's a big little industry that logistics is. More often than not, if you simply just take the approach of say, hey, I'm new, can you spare 15 minutes? More often than not, I think most people, at least in my own experience, more often than not, people are willing to lend a hand. So I just be on time, be honest, be real, you know, and everything, be willing to hustle. I don't think a lot of people, it's the world's changing. And I think, you know, is just be willing to absolutely grind, and that will set you apart. You know, don't be a slave to a company, but grind, you know.
I understand that. Aaron Hatfield, who is, of course, a consultant, the lead consultant with Hatfield Consulting, as well as the head of sales for Arvest. Thank you so much for being on the show, man. Appreciate you immensely, brother.
Mike, thank you so much. It's good to see you again. Appreciate you always.